Welcome to the Morning Struggle Podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Ty. We bring you habits of successful people. And today we're talking about
hormone cycles.
Hormone cycles. Activate. Is this one because we're getting old and we need to replace all of our hormones in our body so we don't wither away and die?
A little bit of that. And also, we've had a lot of puberty talk at our house.
We have had a lot of puberty talk. And you were talking about menopause, men's menstruations.
I never called it menopause.
I'm pretty sure you called it menopause. That's what it's called. It's what the books at the library call it.
No, they don't do that.
They don't?
No.
Well, I haven't been to a library in a decade, but it's whatever. Well, okay. Well, welcome everybody to The Morning Struggle. We bring you habits of successful people. And today we're going to talk about hormones.
Yes.
And hormone cycling.
Yes.
Like, so women's menstruation cycles, men have a menstruation-ish cycle?
They do. They have a hormone cycle. And that's why I brought this up is because these things don't get talked about. Even when I was pitching this idea to you, you were just like, oh, okay.
Well, I'm such an even-keel guy. I never have any ups and downs. I'm just perfect.
Exactly.
Like Iceman from Top Gun.
You want to be like Iceman?
The best one. Val Kilmer, and he's the best.
He's so mean at the beginning.
But he ends up being great at the end.
And then he salutes him.
Do they do a salute? I'm sure. Welcome to the Top Gun podcast. We just talk about Tom Cruise. Okay, well, let's get right into some history then. We're going to get into some science of what happens in your body when these hormones start flooding you. So when you're crazy, it's not all your fault.
It's
a little
not,
bit your fault,
here's the
but
thing.
Not all your fault.
So the crazy, I don't like using that. It's various symptoms in which we're going to cope with.
Oh, okay. So crazy.
Yeah,
so we'll talk about some action or a coffee review.
Yeah.
And then an action plan so we can decide how to handle all these crazy hormones that are going through our body, regardless of what phase of life you're in.
Yes.
All right, here we go.
This day in history.
So we're talking about hormones. I'm going to talk about some of the worst doping scandals in sports history.
Whoa.
So people changing their hormones.
Right.
But then when I started doing this podcast episode, I was a little worried because I'm using caffeine like crazy. And that's an Olympic banned substance.
It is. Yeah.
So if we get to the podcasting Olympics, I'm in trouble because there's no way I can do this. I can't keep up this energy on my own.
It's actually banned in most sports, caffeine now, even in the mountain biking world.
Which is just rude. It's so rude.
No energy
Everybody
drinks for you.
Everybody loves their coffee. I guess energy drinks.
Well, and any type of like workout stimulant is also banned, which is really interesting.
They should just outlaw everything. No food, no fun. If you're an athlete, you're just a robot there for our entertainment.
I think that that's fair.
Run, robot, run. I think after doing this now, let's let everybody do whatever they want.
No.
Inject yourself with whatever. Build a robot body to play football. Doesn't matter.
Whoa.
So let the biggest and bravest and smartest win.
So this was a hard research moment for you then.
It's fine. This is actually really bad. There's a lot of deaths in sports performance enhancement. But let's get into it real quick. Where do I always start with all of my history segments? Ancient.
Greece.
Boom.
Yes.
They turned figs and mushrooms into performance enhancing substances. Probably the placebo effect on some of these things.
Yeah.
But the Egyptians believed that ground mule hooves boosted their athletic prowess.
Oh.
Even in 1930, an English football club, football is soccer, for those of you who live outside of the United States, they bragged about dosing their players with monkey gland extract. I want to try this one.
What?
This one sounds amazing. They probably won all the football trophies.
What part of the monkey is that?
The glands? I'm guessing the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands are where all your testosterone
and your... So you're killing monkeys for your football.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe they just milked them or something. We don't know
That's sad.
But let's go over some of the big ones. And these led to a lot of changes in sports.
Oh, okay.
So the first one, 1967. Cyclist Tom Simpson dies after the Tour de France. Remember this one?
I don't.
You weren't born during this time?
No, I wasn't.
I mean, you knit and do a bunch of old lady stuff, I just assumed. Anyway, in July 13th of 1967, he was pedaling up Mont Ventoux, and it was an extremely hot day. He died of a heart attack and dehydration.
Oh.
But they found ampules of amphetamines in the back pockets of his jersey.
Wait, he was meth?
He was using amphetamines. Not meth. It's just the pure version of meth.
Oh, so was he like sucking it up in his face, or was he
chewing on it? I don't know how the ampules
work. And it was in
his
jersey?
It was in his jersey.
So that'll make your heart rate skyrocket.
You can push yourself way beyond the safe levels of physical exertion, which is what happened. He overworked himself and dehydrated himself to death.
Jeez, that's sad.
But that led to the International Cycling Union ban on the use of performance-enhancing drugs in cycling.
It wasn't banned before the 60s?
Have you seen pictures of the Tour de France? Those guys are on steel bikes, smoking cigarettes. It was more of a race. Can you get to the finish?
Uh-huh.
And so you had tough sailor-type dudes.
No kidding.
Trying to get across to France.
Oh, wow.
Then it became, fancy carbon fiber, super light bikes. Oh, my chase vehicle is going to change out my tire for me. That didn't happen back in the day. Anyway, next one. 1970s and 1980s, German government forces its athletes to use steroids. This was East Germany versus West Germany times, mm-hmm. right? So this was the Cold War era. And East Germany made their athletes take steroids.
Oh.
To the point where some swimmers even said, you eat your pills or you die. And they said it in a German accent, which I'm not good at those.
Which is terrifying.
But they wanted to boost up communism.
Yeah.
So we're stronger and better. You eat your steroids. In the 1976 Olympics in Montreal, the women's swim team won 11 gold medals out of 13 possible.
Whoa.
And East Germany won 40 gold medals overall. That's a lot of gold medals back in the day. In all, about 9,000 athletes were given performance-enhancing drugs in East Germany. Anyway, reunification in the 90s, and then a bunch of these people went to trial and were found guilty.
Oh.
I don't know if they stripped any of the medals away, but the next one did get a medal stripped away, and it ruined his life. 1988, track star Ben Johnson tests positive for steroids.
Oh.
This was the beginning of the steroids in the media.
Oh, yes. And is it the roid rage and all that business that this came out of?
I don't remember. I don't know about roid rage, but so Canadian track star Ben Johnson had his rival, American track star Carl Lewis. Carl Lewis, the All-American boy. He's never touched drugs. He probably was on steroids, too.
Yes.
But he beat Carl Lewis. Ben Johnson beat Carl Lewis in the 100-meter dash in Seoul, South Korea in the 1988 Olympic Games. Well, a little bit after, he tested positive for steroids. He was stripped of all of his medals. He was shamed. They gave it to Carl Lewis. And Carl Lewis probably didn't dope. He was awesome.
Was he legitimately awesome?
I think he was legitimately awesome. Mm. I like Carl Lewis a lot. Anyway, the next one, 1994, Diego Maradona. Do you know Diego Maradona?
I don't.
You're not a big football fan?
Is it football?
Or soccer in America?
No, not so much.
He played in the World Cup teams for Argentina.
Oh.
He was one of the best footballers, they call him footballers,
right,
around. In the 1986 World Cup, he tested positive for 5 different variants of ephedrine.
Oh, gosh.
Remember the ephedrine? You'd lose weight, you're looking all good, you're feeling all hopped up, and then your heart would explode.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was kind of those times.
But you would look really good before your heart exploded.
He also tested positive for cocaine.
Oh.
Maybe he wasn't trying to be the best soccer player. Maybe he just was the best soccer player, and he was just partying.
He just
liked to party.
Gosh.
Anyway, he never got to play for his home country again, Argentina.
Yeah.
Don't cry for him, Argentina. All right, 1998, the Festina cycling team. So we talked about Tour of France.
Yeah.
That first guy who died.
Yeah.
Well, this one, the entire team got kicked out.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that they all died. I was like, whoa.
There has been multiple deaths from multiple people at the same time.
Yeah.
But this one was bad. So the Festina cycling team, it's a little team in a French town near Belgium.
Okay.
Well, the team was found transporting amphetamines, erythropoietin, and steroids, and all sorts of performance-enhancing drugs. So the police arrested him. The team's manager and doctor admitted to the Festina team's doping program. They had a program. They wrote it down. They wrote it down in some books.
Oh,
said,
wow.
Here's our program. Here's our benchmarks.
This is what we do.
We're very professional when we're going to inject them. This led to one of the factors that created the World Anti-Doping Agency in 1999.
Oh.
If you say, hey, it's one thing if one player is going to go and say, I'm in a back alley getting steroids to be stronger. It's another thing
if
your team doctor
happening.
Says,
yeah.
Hey, okay, here's the program. Welcome. Let's do your orientation. let's put a shot in your butt and fill you with full of steroids.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, then this led 2003, the Balco scandal. The Balco. Do you remember the scandal?
I don't.
You don't remember any of these scandals?
Apparently I'm not.
Do you not follow sports? I follow all the sports.
Do you?
Yep.
Even the football?
Formula One, archery, all the big ones.
Archery?
Yep. Sport climbing. The big three.
Okay, sport climbing, yes.
But anyway, the Balco scandal. So Balco, in 2003, the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency announced that designer steroid THG was undetectable via tests.
Oh.
So you could inject this steroid and no one could figure out you were taking it. Well, Trackstar, a lot of these track stars were caught. Well,
these are endurance sports, right?
Sprinters. A lot of sprinters because they want to get strong. The blood doping is for the endurance sport.
Oh,
where you take
gotcha.
Your blood out, then you put your blood back in.
Right,
you
before
you put some blood out, you put some blood back in.
But Marion Jones. To increase your red blood cells, right?
Correct. So, but Marion Jones, who was an Olympic runner, she had informed investigators earlier about the existence of THG.
Mm-hmm.
That was a source of Bay Area laboratory cooperative called Balco. Victor Conte. Mm. So he created this whole company that essentially made undetectable steroids and gave them to professional athletes.
Whoa, I bet that's very profitable.
Crazy profitable. But she had to surrender five Olympic medals.
Mm-hmm.
She also was sentenced to 6 months in prison for lying to federal investigators. And Barry Bonds was a client of Balco.
Oh.
Barry Bonds, home run champion,
yep.
He said he never knowingly took steroids.
What does that mean?
That means people were injecting when he was sleeping. He's sitting there. He's sleeping. He's just trying to get buff. Trying to get buff for his big baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sleeping. And somebody who's got a foot in the cookie or hand in the cookie jar injects him every night.
Gotcha.
Because that happens to me every night. I'm sitting there. I kind of wake up. Somebody just been poked by something.
Yep.
Some person runs out of my room. Like, oh man, I bet that was steroids. I better be careful.
That's bee pollen. Bee pollen.
That's just bee pollen. Placebo effect. Yep. The next one, 2012, Lance Armstrong. You remember Lance Armstrong?
I do.
We loved cycling. Americans loved cycling after Lance Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a single American watched the Tour de France last year because I watched it and they said, I think we have an American on the television. I was like, it's me. I'm watching it.
Ty Shepherd, he's here.
But anyway, he won 7 Tour de France titles. 7 from 1999 to 2005. And they were in a row. It was amazing. No one could touch this guy.
Right.
Right? And then Floyd Landis, who also took steroids,
mm-hmm.
Was a former teammate. And he kind of blew the whistle on the doping in cycling. So cycling has all these anti-doping agencies and protocols and blood draws. And it is everybody was doping. So Armstrong ultimately did contest the charges, didn't contest the charges. So he was accused. He didn't say, I didn't do it. But he also said, I did do it.
Oh.
But it resulted in the loss of his Tour de France titles and a ban from cycling.
Oh, they actually banned him?
Yep. And then after the investigation, it was said that this was the most sophisticated, professionalized, and successful doping program in the sport had ever seen.
Oh.
And then he went on Oprah Winfrey and said he'd been doping for all of his wins.
Oh,
yep.
That would really be... See, here's the thing, though. I can see both sides of it. You get to a certain level,
mm-hmm.
and if everybody else is doping, you're not going to be successful unless you also dope.
You have to dope.
But, I mean, it is not okay. Like, they've already determined that that's part of the rules, so you're breaking the rules in order to win, and so that can't feel good either, because then all of your wins are based on breaking the rules.
Exactly. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go with this one. Last one. The Russians, remember the Russian Olympic issue?
Mm-hmm. So
there was a state-run initiative, kind of like East Germany, where Russia had a program to give performance-enhancing drugs to its athletes in the Sochi, Russia Olympics. So they were accessing tamper-proof bottles for urine and blood. And so when they would send it in, it would look like it wasn't tampered, but it actually was. And so then in 2019, the anti-doping agency received manipulated test results from a Moscow lab, and then they were banned from the Olympics for 4 years, ended up being 2 years. But that's why the last Olympics, or a few Olympics ago, last Olympics, it was not Russia versus mm-hmm. everybody. It was the athletes from whatever country. It wasn't known from whatever country because you couldn't say Russia.
Oh.
Remember, they couldn't have the flag. They couldn't do their Russian anthem.
Wait, so then the athletes could still go, but they couldn't represent their country?
Yep, correct.
Oh.
So they went independently. It was some kind of independent. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, that wouldn't feel very good.
You couldn't have your flag. You didn't get your national anthem when you won a medal. It was a whole thing.
That's a bummer.
So that's all I got. The bottom line of this story is don't dope because you're going to get caught. But dope if you want to win. Conundrum.
So bad.
Conundrum.
So
I don't know what
bad.
To do. But seriously, that I decided to go that way because you're going to talk about hormones.
Yes.
And what performance-enhancing drugs are, they just affect normal processes in your body at a crazy elevated state.
Right.
You produce these steroids in your body, but when you put them in your body at a level 100 times what your body produces, boom, you get the big biceps.
Well, but even some of these, not at, doping levels, but some of these actually, some people do have a higher level. Like you actually have a high red blood cells.
I got a high red blood
so
cell count.
So it can look like you're doping, even though I know for a fact you're not doping because that is not in our budget.
I grew up at high elevation and I got in trouble. Not really. I started cycling and then my levels were too high. They were above the cutoff point and I was doing nothing. I wasn't even drinking Red Bulls.
Yeah.
I was
no caffeine
just being
even.
Me.
Yeah. So you had to donate blood right before
yeah.
so that it would, the count would look okay.
It's
it
crazy.
Was bizarre,
but
we're not all that lucky.
You're not. I think it's 'cause my blood is thick like motor oil. It's probably all the coffee. It's probably all the coffee.
Is that going to lead to something bad?
We got way off on tangent. So let's get in real quick on the science. So that's it for history. Let's get into the science of what happens to our hormones. And you're going to tell us all that great, crazy stuff. Ready?
Ready.
Go.
Okay, so like I said before, the reason why I want to go over this is that people don't pay attention to their bodies.
Right.
And it's kind of like this, I don't know if it's America or if it's the world, is that we don't want our bodies to alter what we're doing day to day because we're trying to be very successful. We're trying to do all these things when really our internal workings are going to affect our outcomes.
So we want to be the same every day, nice and consistent and perfect and happy and don't bother me, hormones in my body.
Exactly, but that's not how this works.
Okay, how does it work?
Right? So my first little disclaimer is this segment is referring to gender hormones that correspond with biological sex at birth. We recognize that gender and biological sex are complex and multifaceted, and this is not a judgment or criticism in any way.
This is just biology and chemistry.
This is just what we found. So, and we're also not medical providers. So,
yeah.
And we're not your medical provider. We're not sneaking in your room and taking blood, right?
Right.
So you need to go see your medical provider if you're feeling like any of this is off or that you're not quite in sync with yourself.
AKA, don't listen to Jesse.
Listen to me, but don't take personal medical
Don't
advice
take advice.
Yeah.
Just use it as an entertainment thing.
Yeah. Well, no, but this is, just think about this for a second.
All right.
Okay. So now, as a woman, I would get mad when you'd be like, are you about to start your period? Is that like, I would get very defensive just in general because I'd be like, no, my emotions are valid and there is nothing internally messing with stuff. And that is not a true at all. Okay. And we tend to think of women like we go, oh, they're upset because of their periods, that kind of thing. Well, men, you just sit back and listen to.
You loved this part because men have periods too.
They have periods too.
Yeah.
It's just not marked by bleeding.
Okay.
Okay, so women have two phases. And so we have the follicular phase, which is it's about 10 to 22 days. And everybody's starkly different. So take this with a grain of salt in many ways. But our cycle starts when we start bleeding. So we have this is when this is happening. We start in this phase, the pituitary gland in the brain releases a follicle-stimulating hormone, and then that signals the ovary to start prepping for the follicles, which is where that's where the egg gets released.
Okay.
Okay. And by doing so, this releases estrogen, which triggers the uterine lining to start thickening again.
Okay, so you're flushing everything out, and you're getting prepped for your next baby.
For the next possible baby.
Next possible baby.
Yeah,
okay.
But a big uptick of estrogen.
Okay.
Okay. Then one follicle will mature and be the dominant follicle because you have two sides, right?
Right.
And this is where this stage plateaus. So you have your estrogen starts to peak. Okay, so once estrogen actually peaks, we hit the luteal phase.
Okay. Oh, the old luteal phase.
Oh, that phase. And this tells the brain to start secreting lutealizing hormone, LH.
LH, lutealizing hormone. Yeah. This is when you get fun.
This is... Excuse me?
This is when you get fun.
Yes.
Right? Am I right or am I not?
Yeah, this is where you're excited because you're about to release an egg in which you want to fertilize.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get fun, really?
Yeah.
You're going to want to step
you're happy,
back.
You're happy, nice. You're excited about life.
But the estrogen stays in this peak. So there's actually not much alteration in estrogen. And I'm going to tell you why that's important here in a second. So this is when the egg is released. And this is called ovulation.
Okay.
Okay. So we're releasing the egg. Okay. So then we start producing progesterone. Okay. So there's a new introduction. You're always producing progesterone, but at higher levels. And this initiates the uterine lining to get ready to have a fertilized egg implant.
Okay.
Okay. So the egg is just, we're excited. Our body's getting ready for a baby, right? So if it doesn't implant.
Yep.
Which is 98% of the time, the estrogen progesterone levels start to drop and this causes the uterine lining to shed. Okay, so that's when you start your period.
That's what
again.
A period is. It's your uterine lining shedding because you didn't get a baby.
Exactly.
Okay.
So this whole cycle can be anywhere from 25 to 32 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you cycle through this way.
Makes sense.
Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So Bjornton and Sternum.
Yep.
From
those
the
two
journal,
guys.
From the Journal of Critical Endocrine and Metabolism. Mm-hmm. So they actually did this really neat body of studies. And what this is that the seasons actually do not influence women estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone levels.
So it doesn't matter if it's the middle of winter or the heat of the summer, You are the same cycle.
Yes, but here's the things that do affect it.
Okay.
So sunlight and latitude. So the more sunlight that a woman has on her body, the more estrogen that they have.
Okay.
Okay. So think it's summertime, more estrogen. So estrogen specifically goes up. Now with a higher latitude, are we at a high latitude? Would you say here?
We're at a medium latitude. We're in the middle of America. It's a middle latitude.
Okay,
now we're at the North Pole. We're not at the equator.
The higher latitude that you have equals the more red blood cells that you have.
It'd be higher elevation.
Elevation. You're right.
Okay.
I misspoke.
Okay.
So the higher elevation, the more red blood cells that you have,
okay,
the more follicle stimulant hormones that you have,
mm-hmm,
which also increases your estrogen.
So live on the top of a mountain.
Well, if you want more estrogen.
If you want more. And is that good?
Well, so I'll explain why this is important, but those are the factors that affect female hormones.
Okay. So that's females.
Okay. So now men. You all think you're very stable.
I'm the most stable person you've ever met.
You are not. So, men hormone cycle. So, we women do it every 25 to 32 days, right?
Right.
Men do it every 24 hours.
Just we're faster than most people. we're quick on our cycles.
So, you guys also have estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Testosterone tends to be the one that is more altering within this 24-hour period.
So, we fluctuate testosterone on a 24-hour basis?
Yes. That's why I was talking about when you get your testosterone measured, uh-huh, it's important what time of day, and I'll tell you into more factors, but these things aren't considered in the medical, I think they are in some sectors, but they're not as well known amongst everyone.
Makes sense.
And it is actually super important. So this is why I'm stressing this so much, friends.
All right.
Okay, so your testosterone peaks as you're waking up. And I like to think of it as a battery, like you guys are little robots. And throughout the day, your battery is going down. So your testosterone is going down and is the lowest right before you hit sleep.
Okay.
Okay. So every 24 hours, you're restarting these things. Now, the biggest part of the biggest piece that alters men are the seasons. So you guys are altered by the seasons.
So you're altered by the elevation and sunlight.
Uh-huh.
But we're altered by the seasons.
Yes.
So when it's dark and cold, we are more crabby because our testosterone is down?
Well, so this was the funnest, the studies for me to read because I geeked out hard on this one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there was three different studies and no one can come to a conclusion. So there's three bodies of thought. So the first one is that your testosterone peaks in late November and then dips in early summer.
Okay.
Okay. So does that make sense? And it would kind of correspond with breeding cycles.
Makes sense. You want to have babies when it's best to have babies.
Yeah. So if you impregnate someone in late fall, they're going to have their baby midsummer.
Yeah. Which is nice.
Great. Which is warm. A great time. There's lots of things
the
happening.
Baby's frolic. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause we're all just animals, but we can reproduce at any given time versus specific seasons like elk, for example. Right. And then there's also, there's a peak in June and then you start to dip into late August. So this one's actually the highest alteration because you got to think you peak in June and then you plummet over those couple of months and then you do a slow build for the rest of the year.
Oh, that's why it's the dog days of summer. It has nothing to do with the heat.
It's just like you
my testosterone. My testosterone's down.
And then there was another study that found that men do whatever they want and it's all over the place.
Weird, because we do what we want. We don't have to follow your rules.
But it's interesting that throughout the year it's changing, but then every 24 hours you're roller coastering.
Wow. So we're even better because we're having to deal with all this stuff, is what you're saying.
Okay. So, so it's not your levels of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone that every human being has. It's not the levels. It is the fluctuations that create anxiety. So not clinical anxiety or clinical depression, but symptoms of anxiety, depression, emotional variance, brain fog. But how it's put in the research is intellectual capacity.
So just brain fog.
Yeah, daily intellectual capacity, moodiness, and instability.
So your low, high doesn't really matter, but low to high, that's what makes you crazy.
Well, and that's why I don't like using the word crazy.
I don't care. I love crazy. Embrace the crazy.
it's just a different feeling. You're more irritable. You're a little more emotionally unstable, that kind of thing. So with women, how that there's moments within the cycle, like estrogen, where it stays peaked. That's a very stable time. You're less irritable, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's times where you start to plummet because the egg's been released and we're having changes. That is actually when our variances occur. And with men, male hormones like testosterone, you're peaking in the morning and you're just wee, 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 wee throughout the day going down. And that's actually the variance. So
makes sense.
Yeah. So it's an interesting cycle that way. So other ways that our hormones imbalance, there's lots of different ways, like medical issues and that kind of thing. That's why I would recommend going and getting like a blood panel to just kind of see what's going on. But sleep cycles are a big one, big, big, big one. And you got to think about that specifically with male hormones. If you're peaking after you've had a good night's rest and then you're depleting until you go back to sleep, that if you haven't slept very well, that means that your testosterone never really recovers.
Mm.
And so you're just boop, 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 boop. It's deteriorating as you go along.
That makes sense.
So
Okay. Every
police officer and every cop and every nighttime worker.
You mean firemen? You said firemen. Cop and police officers.
Oh, and firemen. Yeah.
Ambulance workers.
Yeah. All
nurse,
of these
night shifters.
Yes. Everybody, the hormones are never really recovering. Mm. And so we have to make sure that we give that time to recover with our sleep cycle. Nutritional deficiencies, even very minimal. So if you're not getting enough certain vitamins, and sometimes it's hard because every body needs a little bit different stuff. So being able to pay attention to the nutrition and things that you're maybe depleted, like a lot of fast food doesn't serve us at all.
Okay.
There isn't many vitamins in that. Exercise levels. So exercise increases testosterone. So even in women, right? Because it's just generally increases our testosterone. And so if you're not getting enough exercise or the right type of exercise, then your hormones can be all over the place in that way. Overall medical health, like I was saying, especially if like post-baby, pre-baby, these different things, it's not menopause. Now I can't get that out of my head. It's called something else.
For the men?
For the men, like your general reduction in testosterone as you age.
Oh, I don't know what that's called.
There's an actual name for it. And now all I have is menopause.
We'll call it menopause.
No, there's a name. Anyway, all of those things can affect your hormones.
Uh-huh.
I hate that I have adopted that. Oh my goodness. Stress levels. Stress levels are huge. And so finding that balance between good stress and bad stress, we talked about cortisol.
Right.
So cortisol deteriorates the estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone.
So cortisol and stress is not bad, but you need to come off of your stress.
Yeah.
You do a really poor job of being stressed and then not being stressed. We're just constantly stressed.
Yeah. And that high cortisol makes everything swell in your body and it deteriorates the efficiency of the body. So with cortisol, we want it to go up and down. And with it, if it doesn't do that, then you have issues like this.
Okay. And then it deteriorates all your hormones.
Yeah. So, and then obviously caffeine and various substances like your doping will also deteriorate these different hormones, which then have to be replaced otherwise, and it becomes like a snowball effect.
And then you got to go talk to Balco Laboratories.
Yeah.
Say, give me more. And it just never stops.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You just keep going. So our bodies are very complex, and you are going to have differences in how you feel and your symptoms based on your internal workings. So we shouldn't be upset if we're feeling more irritable, because that can very much be a hormone.
So we shouldn't be upset if we're upset, like irritable?
No.
We
shouldn't try to fight it.
Okay.
So like and here's the thing, you're a robot. So the thing, when you say, are you about to start your period or that kind of thing, genuinely want to know, because you see a change in my behavior based on that.
I can sense your hormone changes.
It's not.
Yeah.
You can. No, but it's interesting, because as a woman growing up, the big thing would be like, oh, she's about to start her period. And it has this negative context. No, that's actually not the case. We do have changes in how we feel, our irritability, emotional stability, that kind of stuff, based on these hormone pieces, but also men. And so it's an interesting societal piece where we pin women into this corner where it's like, oh, they're being emotional. But it's like, no, everybody actually has changes in how they're feeling, anxiety, depression, emotion, all this stuff based on these hormones. And so everyone should be paying attention to this and not taking a negative context out of it, because it you can remedy this. And that's what we're going to go into the action plan, is that we need to understand our bodies so that we can properly cope with it.
Okay. So biological men with the biological women in your world, don't be so judgmental, because you're having a hormone cycle every single day.
Every single day. You just don't have bleeding, so there's not like a marked difference. Could you imagine if you bled every day?
I do bleed every day because I'm tough.
You guys would be so out of it.
Tough like a chainsaw. All right, well, that's awesome. That's interesting stuff.
Isn't that cool?
And just being aware that you actually have these cycles is a big deal. I'm guessing you're going to talk about that in the action plan.
I am, yep.
Okay, well, let's get into a quick coffee segment, coffee review, and then we'll do our action plan to manage our hormone cycles. Okay, here we go.
I drank pots and pots and pots and pots of strong black coffee, trying to keep my sleepy soul awake. But the sleepiness still comes along, and when it does, it's fast and strong. I end up with a bad case of the shakes.
We are way over time.
I know.
We got to be quick on our coffee review.
All right.
What are we reviewing?
We are reviewing Paper and Slippers from Grounds and Hounds.
Paper and Slippers from Grounds and Hounds.
It's a medium roast. There's no additives, which you enjoy.
No
added flavors. Yeah. So it does have tasting notes. One day we're going to go into how they find these things.
You talked about it. It's the husk.
Yeah,
and
but like this
how
one is brownie.
Them. Brownies. Yeah, you're out in nature. You're finding brownies. You're foraging for brownies. They're all over the place.
Or they're fairies. Brownies were fairies.
What? I don't.
Some ground fairies in this.
Yeah, some ground fairies.
No, so brownie, there's toasted walnut, and then there's plum,
okay,
which I think is wonderful.
So Ground and Hound, ground
paper,
and paper and slippers coffee.
Yes.
You can get it on the interwebs. And it's okay.
It's, well, here, I'm going to go through aroma.
Three.
Acidity.
Three.
Body.
Three.
Flavor,
it's kind of chalky for me.
It is a little chalky.
Yeah.
I agree. Flavor and aftertaste?
Three.
And design and brand?
I'll give it four.
Perfect. Okay.
So just a little better than Starbucks, but kind of like right in that category for me.
Yeah, it's about average. I just adore the packaging and things like that, which sells me the coffee. But it's average.
Okay.
I would say this is pretty average.
Yeah, so Ground and Hounds, it's decent.
Yeah.
But nothing to write home about.
I really liked the morning one, the light roast that they had.
Yeah, you like the light roast.
That was a good one. This one's fine.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome. For those of you who were sitting there saying, should I buy Ground and Hound? Ground and Hound or Ground and Hounds?
Grounds and Hounds.
They're both plural.
Yes.
Both pluralized. Yep.
And a portion of their proceeds actually go to helping animals, and I really dig that.
Well, now I feel bad for only giving it threes.
No, this is honest. We gave the other one way higher marks than this one. Because
there's so many designer dogs that just don't have an upper-class home to go to.
No, these are like the animal shelters and things.
This is Sarah McLachlan's dogs. She's got so many dogs.
She has so many.
So many poor dogs.
She has to sing all the time to them.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Well, there you go. So that's Grounds and Hounds.
It's paper and slippers.
Pretty good. So those of you who were on the fence, you can know. Yeah. Well, that's okay. Yeah. I'm not going to make a bad purchase.
Yeah. Like, that's average. That's good.
All right. Well, let's get back into the action plan. Talk about assessing our hormone cycles and wrap this whole thing up.
Yes.
Let's hope you make the most of it, my boy.
So I cannot stress this enough, how important it is to understand our body and to listen to it.
Listen to your body. It's screaming at you every day.
It is. And no one's paying attention to it because we're so busy scrolling and being our delusional selves.
And eating In-N-Out burgers.
That's right. So good, though. So I want you to listen and understand your body and how you feel at different times. So everybody's body is different. And so it's also going to change throughout a lifetime. So you might feel like you have a good handle on it in your 20s. And then you hit your 40s and you're like,
okay, so it's important. Do we journal this?
Yes. Okay. So period trackers, on my watch, I have the
period tracker.
And that has been life-changing.
It's been great for you.
It's been really good because now I know like, oh, I'm grumpy. Because there's a period of time right before I start my period where I hate you.
Yeah.
I hate you. I hate your face.
I'm too charming. I'm too charming. I'm too cute. It's just irritating. I get it.
And so, when I start feeling those feelings, I can put it in the tracker and I'm like, oh, yeah, it's 2 days before I start my period. That makes sense.
Do they have a menopause tracker?
They don't, and this is unfortunate.
If you're listening, develop one. I will buy it.
Yeah.
Because I want to put it on my wrist so I know, hey, watch out. Your testosterone might be getting low because you're getting kind of grouchy.
Getting grouchy. Well, and that's the thing is throughout the day, you're going to have different things that deplete that. And so I think having a tracker for your testosterone would be actually really, really helpful. Since that doesn't exist, as far as I know right now, calendars and journals would be a good way to do this.
So journal entries.
Yeah. So if you find that there's something where you're just more irritable that day or angry, we've talked about that where like there's days where you're just mad. And that would be a good indication that testosterone, there's a fluctuation there, and maybe we should take better care of ourselves during that time frame.
Makes sense. Like on my morning commute, I'm pretty nice, let people in. Mm-hmm. On my evening commute, I'm hitting people. I'm running into them. I'm running them off the road.
No. Mad Max
waving
style.
Waving my fist out the window.
Makes sense. That's so funny. But paying attention to changes in sleep, food cravings, irritability, anxiety, and depression are the big things that I would want you to take.
Just assess that and write it down in your journal.
Write it down in your journal or put it in your watch if you're a lady and you have the tracker because it's great. Set up coping skills that nourish these specific stressful times. So more or different exercise is helpful. I found a cool study about when you're on your actual period, cardio is really a good thing to do to kind of flush out the feelings of like uncomfortable feelings. Good nutrition. Make sure you're eating well, even if all you want to eat is In-N-Out burger. We bag on it, but I love it. It's delicious. Having relaxing evenings, so not having to be socially on, and then having social comfort time. So if you need more cuddles, if you need more hugs, that kind of stuff, that actually helps because the oxytocin that you get is the attachment hormone, and it helps counter the fluctuations with testosterone and estrogen specifically.
Okay, so if you get your snuggie on and watch your show, and that's actually good for your hormones.
It is.
So you say, I'm being lazy, I should be productive. No.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to snuggie up.
Yeah, and it's not all the time, right? But we're remedying specific symptoms, okay? And then know what stresses change your hormones. So we need to understand that stress will help that fluctuate, impact it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And so we want to implement skills like meditation, breathing exercises, and work-life balance. So people don't really think about this because they're like, I need the money, so I need to keep my job or whatever. There's ways of making your world a little more balanced. Try to find those things within your work-life balance right. in order to make the stress level less impactful on your hormones.
Okay, we got mini sabbatical or sanctuary. We got meditation episodes. But maybe we'll revisit meditation and journaling. I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, because it's such a good skill for so many different things.
Right.
And then ask for help. So if you're feeling like you're low energy or your sleep's all out of whack or whatever the things are, I do think that going and getting help with both a therapist, because I love therapy because I'm a therapist, but but also from a medical provider, and just indicate like I have low energy. So, and they can do various blood tests and things like that just to see if there's something else happening that is affecting your day to day.
Okay. I like run us back through the steps.
Real thing. Yep. Okay. So listen and understand your body.
Listen to your body.
Set up coping skills to nourish those things.
Okay.
Know where your stress level specifically impacts it.
Find your triggers.
Yep. Find your triggers and set up things to help that. And then ask for help.
Do those four things and you'll win the period game. Whether you're a man, biological man, biological woman, mm-hmm. you'll win.
Yep.
And then you don't even have to dope when you to go be an athlete.
Because you've already won.
Because you've mastered your hormones.
Exactly.
And then you can raise your testosterone naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happens?
Yeah. Well, not just testosterone, but all of you. It just balance. We're looking for balance.
You're looking for a balance in the hormones.
Yes.
All right. I like this one. I'm going to bring out the journal and I'm going to start tracking when I'm grouchy.
Yep.
And know that, hey, maybe it's my testosterone. Go get my levels checked.
Mm-hmm.
See where I'm at. Make sure I'm getting good sleep. Make sure I'm eating well.
Yep.
Oh, all the stuff that is just common sense to be a better person and healthier. Yep. You're just telling me I got to do all the hard work. Where's the easy one?
Yes.
Where can I put amphetamines in my jersey pocket and then say, yeah, you see how much I vacuumed today? The whole neighborhood. I knocked on everybody's door and I vacuumed everybody's house because I'm on amphetamines.
That's right.
No?
Well, yeah,
right.
See.
I do like doing it the right way. You will feel better.
Yes,
you'll
you
be
will.
Balanced. You won't have anxiety as much. That kind of anxiety.
Yes.
All right. Again, listen to Jessie. She gives you the hard path to get successful.
But it's the good path. It's the healthy one.
And it's the one that's most rewarding because it's the journey.
It's the journey, not the destination.
It's the journey, not the destination. Mm-hmm. And all that garbage. But no, I like it. I'm going to try this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that all we have for action plan?
That's all we got.
All right. Well, I'm going to do it. You probably are going to do it. Let's have everybody else get out there and
build a better you.
Thanks, guys.